Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When St. Paul wrote his letter to the Philippians, he was very happy with them. They were showing some signs of spiritual growth, and it is remarkable that they did not require much chastisement or correction that we find in some of other of his epistles. It is as if they were ready to move on from the milk of the Christian life to the meat. They had received good news, the good news of Jesus Christ, and they'd received it with joy. They had received the message that the kingdom of God had come because the king had come. The king himself had been amongst them, and they had begun to understand that to serve others is to serve him, to forgive others is to be forgiven, to love another and even the unlovable other is to know God and his agape love. They had begun to see that the light of the love, which is immortal and which has been manifested to us in Jesus Christ our Lord, shines without fail, regardless of the clouds of this mortal life. They were ready for something even greater than the reception of benefits and saving truths. Now that they had received immeasurable benefits and the mercy of God, they were ready to hear a new word. And this was the message. Jesus, who knew that he was equal to the Father, who did not cling to this majesty or grasp it, but released it with open hands by taking humanity into himself and being born of the Virgin Mary, was willing to suffer innocently on behalf of others and submit himself to death and even the death of the cross. This fully redeemed and renewed human mind, perfectly subjected to the divine, St. Paul says, have this mind in you. Here at the outset of the last week of Lent, Holy Week, over the course of daily liturgies, we will hear the passion narrative of our Lord from each of the Gospels, in turn beginning today with St. Matthew's account. And a person could make the statement or the case that this is some kind of effort to just be thorough. And truly, I don't know how you could be any more thorough than what we're going to do this week, but it is not mere repetition that the church is after. We are saturated with the passion narratives in a week set off by the admonition of St. Paul. You are not meant just to take note. You are meant to take part. The divine love of God was manifested in Jesus Christ everywhere he walked 2,000 years ago, and everywhere that the good news of the kingdom of God is given reign in the world today. But today, this love is manifested not only in the head of the church, but in the body of the church. Have this mind in you. In order to get this into our heads this week, not only is the passion narrative thoroughly contemplated, but each day of Holy Week, the rubrics instruct that the collect for Palm Sunday that we've prayed already today is to be repeated. A collect composed for the Gregorian Sacramentary in the 7th century and repeated by the Western Church without cease for nearly 1,400 years. See if you can hear the sentiment of St. Paul's epistle to the Philippians, the passage we've read today, in these words of St. Gregory the Great. Almighty and everlasting God, who of thy tender love towards mankind hast sent thy Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take upon him our flesh, and to suffer death upon the cross, that all mankind should follow the example of his great humility. Mercifully grant that we may both follow the example of his patience and also be made partakers of his resurrection through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Have this mind in you is the prayer. It is no secret that the resurrection is what we look forward to. To be partakers of the resurrection of the Lord, to be a participant in the greatest victory story of all time and space, to be on the winning side of what, as one parishioner and I sometimes call, the most heavy metal scene of cosmic gravitas, where the King of Kings and Lord of Lords takes on the form of a servant and submits himself to an embarrassing punishment which he did not deserve and was not required to undergo, but for his own divine essence, which is pure love, he subjected himself to what all demons and devils and Satan himself had devised, a gruesome and demeaning passion, swallowing up into the tomb of death this one, and pulling him down into the jaws of Sheol. In that darkness and shadow, he is not bound, but breaks all bonds and chains and condemnation and death. Rather than being subject to captivity, he sets captives free and harrows all of hell before rising indestructible, all dark and opposing powers and kingdoms beneath him laying broken in his presence. This we want to partake in. And into this we are welcome to participate as baptized members of his body. But Jesus did not rise again before he suffered. And here is the rationale of St. Paul of Lent, of Holy Week, of Passiontide, and the message to move from the milk of the Christian life to the meat. The prayer is not just that we would partake of his resurrection. Prayer is that all mankind may follow the example of his great humility, and that all mankind may follow the example of his patience. The command is, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It is not wrong to say that in our observance of Holy Week, we rehearse the passion of Jesus Christ. And why would we do that? First of all, to have clear in our minds by simple repetition just what our Lord has done for us and just what, in our ignorance and sinfulness, we did to him. To see the example of his great humility, to see the example of his patience, but then not only to observe and see, but follow. The message for those who are ready to grow in their Christian life, just as St. Paul felt the Philippians were, is that we are not only meant to benefit, to be partakers of the resurrection, we are meant to see the incarnation, life, humility, patience, and passion of our Lord and respond to the command, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You will not go to the cross for the redemption of all mankind. That work is done. But to follow Christ is to tread that path that he tread, in your own life and in your own circumstance. Just as in the life of Christ, I am sure that in your life you are in contact somewhere with a widow who grieves. You know a child who needs to feel welcomed and valued, even in the presence of intimidating adults. You have met a present-day thief on the cross who needs to be forgiven and know it. You have met people who are impossible, who that it would be easy just to entirely abandon. You've no doubt even people who have distaste for you. Hopefully not people who wish you to be crucified, but maybe. People that you must forgive, even as you suffer from their cruelty, saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And pray along with the whole church the words that have been repeated for over 1,000 years in this last week of Lent. Almighty and everlasting God, who of thy tender love towards mankind has sent thy Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to take upon him our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross, that all mankind should follow the example of his great humility, mercifully grant that we may both follow the example of his patience and also be made partakers of his resurrection through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.